clear and concise. This is the Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio. It is Friday. Thank you, Jesus. I am Shannon Joy. This is TNT, and we're joined by Owen Stevens once again on Friday to recap the week and discuss the politics of the day. He's broadcasting from Texas. He's actually at CPAC, which is one of the conservative organizational events of the year. How is it down there in CPAC?
Hey, Shannon, it's going well. I just got done listening to a bunch of speakers. Ted Cruz spoke, Ben Carson spoke, a lot of great speakers so far. I'm really excited about the state of the Conservative Party right now. Like, you look around and you see so many people who are so happy about what they believe in. There's finally not like fear that's holding them back, which I really, really like. But then there's also a lot of rhinos present. There's a lot of people that aren't necessarily conservative that are at these, you know, at this meeting because they're just Republicans and they're running and they have that status and they have that power. So those are the people that I think we need to be doing war against as much as we can.
I think being at these events to influence the people who influence the party is never necessarily a bad thing. There's still a major problem within the Republican Party. I would be surprised if anyone at CPAC were discussing the Great Reset, globalism, vaccine injury, the vaccine adverse event reporting system, including people like Cruz. But there is a lot of work to be done, and I'm glad that you're there, and I'm glad that you're influencing in the way that you are, Owen. We have a lot of work to do. Big show today. We're going to talk about a piece. This was the front page of the Epoch Times. It came out last week. I've read through the entire thing, a massive spread, excellent reporting by a gentleman named Alex Newman, who I've known for almost a decade. In fact, Alex was a regular on my show on the issue of Common Core almost 10 years ago. He understood the global agenda then, and he understands the global agenda now. And this is one of the best pieces that I've seen that completely encapsulates everything that you're seeing in terms of the revolt in Netherlands by the farmers and in Germany and in Canada, the new ESG scores and the new sustainability goals that we're seeing in the United States of America pushed by Biden, this war on farming, this war on the ability for humans to access food. Some are calling it the starvation agenda. It is actually rooted in a declaration that was put together almost 10 years ago in 2015 with the adoption of UN Agenda 2030. If you want to understand what is happening in terms of politics, you have to understand the United Nations, the UN Agenda 21, and the UN Agenda 2030. That is the framework for the Great Reset, and it lays everything out. And they've been at this, as we have mentioned before, for many, many decades. What we're seeing now is the culmination of all of those plans and agendas. So we are going to devote some time to that piece a little later in the program. But first, we have to talk about Ron DeSantis. Owen, let's just talk about Ron DeSantis for a little bit. I don't know what to say about Ron DeSantis other than this guy has balls of steel. I don't know how else to, you can't sugarcoat this, all right? That's this guy is going out and saying, even more than Donald Trump, who went out and talked about low-hanging fruit, Donald Trump would go out and bash liberals and say that they're stupid and the deep state and the media is corrupt and they're liars and fake news and the deep state and fake news and Nancy Pelosi and the liberals. And he'd go out and he'd just flail around and punch people in the nose, figuratively speaking. And we all liked that because it made us feel good, but it didn't really further the agenda. And when he got into office, President Trump, the rhetoric did not match the discernible policy outcome. 4 years of the Trump presidency yielded multiple spending bills, massive spending bills that increased the size and scope of the federal government in the surveillance state. They drove the country further and further and further into debt. The debt spending under President Trump would have made President Obama blush. Planned Parenthood was still funded. Research was still being conducted in the NIH on babies and fetuses. All of this continued under the presidency of Donald Trump. And so we liked his rhetoric, but we didn't really see a lot in terms of, as I mentioned, discernible policy outcome. The wall was never built. Oh, and you're in Texas. Is there a wall between Mexico and Texas?
There is not. There is not okay. a discernible border right now. In fact, it's an invasion right now.
Interestingly enough, that was a massive battle for a full year, 18 months. People would call into my radio program and insist that there was a wall. And I would say, well, then it's an invisible wall because it's not being built. So like President Trump or not, the rhetoric people liked, but the discernible policy outcome, not so much. DeSantis is a whole different animal. And before we get into this discussion, there is a disclaimer, okay? I hate doing this because anytime I talk about a politician and that I like what they're doing and that what they're doing is good for the country and they're moving the ball forward, we mm-hmm. always move into this idol worship, the hero savior narrative, the savior complex, right? The only way that we can win, the only way we'll survive, the only way that we can save the country is Ron DeSantis.
Right.
So big, fat, flashing disclaimer before we have this conversation. Ron DeSantis is not Jesus Christ. Ron DeSantis is not the savior. We yep. like what he's doing for multiple reasons, and we'll lay that out. But I want you to repeat after me. I will not become obsessed with Ron DeSantis and accept him as my savior. If we can all agree on that before we start this discussion, then we're good.
Well, I think that's one of the things that happened with Trump is that, and I don't think people, it's malicious. I think people just were so completely devastated by the state of the country, by what Barack Obama was doing and about the way that the country was trending, the way that we were heading, the things that the government was allowing to happen. And then here comes this guy who's boldly speaking the truth that everybody wishes that they could speak themselves. And it made them, it reinvigorated them. And there's a place for that. But the problem that I saw was when Donald Trump lost in 2020, people couldn't, they couldn't like perceive it. It couldn't compute with them. They didn't understand how he could possibly lose because they had put him on this pedestal that he should have never been put on in the first place. He's not God. He's a man, and he's a very imperfect man. And I think that we have to start treating our elected officials, every single one of them, conservative or Democrat, the most liberal or the most conservative, equally. Treat them with distrust. You shouldn't trust a single person. You should treat them for what they are. They're power hungry. Every single one. That's the nature of their job.
Well, and the framers of the Constitution understood this. This is why they limited government. This is why they indicated that men are not angels. We never will be. If men right. were angels, you wouldn't need governments. You right. wouldn't need laws. And so we're dealing with imperfect people in positions of power. They should never be elevated to the level of saviors or gods. And here we yes. are, in a way, Owen, trying to elevate to a higher form of politics, right? These mm-hmm. political discussions, most of the political discussions in the U.S. center around polls and elections and figures and candidates. It's a game. It's like a sporting event. And we're looking at the polls and the numbers, and so-and-so is ahead by a nose, and then someone's going to pass them up. And we hyper-focus on these contests. We devote all of our time and our energy and our money into these contests and forget about the most important aspect, which is organization and control at the local level, seizing right. that back, decentralizing everything. The answer to globalism is localism.
Yes.
It is not a bigger and badder global entity, because right. that big, bad global entity, even if you think they're good for a time, will eventually become corrupted.
Right.
That's the problem with the Republican and Democrat Party today. You have a corrupt government at the top at the federal level, and you have these two factions trading places. Every 4 years, one comes into office and wields the corrupt machine. Then another one comes into office and wields the corrupt machine. And the problem isn't the factions, it's the machine.
Right.
The Titanic that is going down super fast.
What I would say,
it doesn't matter who's at the helm.
You're right. I would say that a local focus is really important, but even more than that, it's an individual focus, because all groups can become infected. All groups can become corrupted and can, you know, become chaotic in a way. And they can not, they can end up disserving the people that they're supposed to protect. And I think that happens in local situations just as it does nationally. I think all groups are prone to that. But if at the individual level, people understand that they have a level of responsibility for their community and their family, then that's really the step that we need to take, is addressing that personal agency that people should have. That's why we were founded in the first place as a country, because people, they had agency over their lives and they took agency and control and individual responsibility for their actions and the actions of their community. And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. And Steve Dace actually tweeted out on this point, right? What we're saying today would be considered almost heresy for a conservative talk radio host 3 years ago. But even Steve Dace yesterday tweeted out, and he is a rising star. I think that Steve Dace of The Blaze will likely be the next Rush Limbaugh on a national level. He is, I think, one of the clearest thinkers right now. This is what he tweeted. Think of how we crawled over broken glass, hoping, praying, working for the Bushes, the Cheneys, the McCains, the Romneys to win elections to, quote, save America, only to see them betray us later. I would include Trump in that as well. Yeah. Then realize much of the, quote, red wave is happening right now, and we'll vote for them this fall, and later they will do the same. Mm. So by all means, go out and vote, but understand that the hard work is happening down at the local level. The left understands that. And in Texas, we saw a George Soros-backed prosecutor elected in the recent election. So that shows you that our adversaries are very focused on local elections and local politics to our detriment. Now, let's talk about Ron DeSantis. So that was a very, very, very long, long disclaimer. Can we talk about how much I love Ron DeSantis right now? So I love Ron DeSantis right now. I love what he's doing, okay? He is showing, headline after headline, Owen, with DeSantis just coming out and absolutely smashing the ideologies of the left, the radical ideologies of the left as a governor in Florida. And by doing so, he is influencing the rest of the party. I'm going to go through quick just four in the last couple months, and then I'll get your response and we'll spend the next segment discussing this. From Disney, going head to head with the beloved Disney in the United States of America over legislation restricting teachers from teaching sex to children in Florida, going up against the radical gender theory that is being put into curriculums across the country. He won. His surgeon general that he appointed now recommending against vaccines for children and also questioning the safety of the vaccines as well. That's Joseph Lodopo. In addition, this surgeon general has now come out with warnings about gender affirming medications in surgeries, puberty blockers, and also the surgeries that these gender-affirming hospitals and medical facilities are doing on children, right? And now recently, George Soros-style prosecutor was suspended by Ron DeSantis in Florida for practicing politics instead of enforcing the law and prosecuting criminals. This is all in the last couple of months. These are areas that Republicans would never go, Owen. And I've taken up the majority of this segment. I know you want to get going. When we come back, I'm going to go straight to you. We're going to have a full segment. And I'd like to get your thoughts on Ron DeSantis, what he has accomplished, what it means for the party, and what it indicates for the country in terms of moving the Overton window, shifting the entire discussion rather than playing in the left's sandbox and accepting their precedent and their premise. He's tipping the sandbox, tossing the board game, and starting from a premise of truth. I'm going to get Owen's opinions on that when we come back right here on TNT.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Who is Klaus Schwab and what is the World Economic Forum which he leads? Klaus Schwab, the chairman of the World Economic Forum, believes transhumanization is a fundamental part of the Great Reset within the Fourth Industrial Revolution. He states, "The difference of this Fourth Industrial Revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take genetic editing just as an example. It's you who are changed, and of course this has a big impact on your identity."
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization, the left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
There's no dispute. The jabs are not safe or effective. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We are back. This is TNT. I'd like you to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. My handle is at Shannon Joy Radio on Facebook with a zero at the end. And hey, if you're following me, why not give TNT Radio a follow as well? We are on all major social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Insta, Gab, Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest, most important topics of our time, topics that no other media outlets will cover on today's News Talk TNT Radio. Owen Stevens, he's the host of the Owen Stevens Show. You can find him at Owen Stevens Show, theowenstevensshow.com. Owen, Ron DeSantis. I did most of the talking in the last segment, because I just had to get this off of my chest. I'm not fangirling. He is not my political crush, but I really like what he's doing in Florida. I really like what he is saying. What are your thoughts?
I mean, Ron DeSantis, as conservative as he is, I think that the left should love Ron DeSantis personally. I think that what Ron, even though Ron DeSantis stands culturally against the left, which is why we love him so much, he's actually invested so much money in education. The Florida education system is one of the best in the country because of what he's been able to do. Additionally, as far as the environment is concerned, he is one of the most proactive environmental conservationists in the entire country. He's one of the best governors we have for the environment. Look at the governor, Gavin Newsom, in California, where the entire state doesn't even have water. They're ravaged by fires. The smoke in the air, the quality of air, it's like, that's the kind of liberal governor that you want running your state with that cares about the environment. Meanwhile, you look at Florida, and Governor DeSantis he's increased the water quality, he's increased the air quality, clean air, clean water. What's better for the environment than that? That is the epitome of environmental protection and conservation. And liberals, they don't see it because they don't want to see it. It's not about that. It's not really truthfully about the facts or what he does well. Rather, it's all about the narrative. Their narrative that he is what? What do they think he is? A white supremacist, a racist, somebody who stands against the transgender ideology, who stands against Disney, who stands against the LGBTQ lobby, and is unafraid to simply say no. And on his, like, if you look at education, I'll just do a quick bullet list, Shannon.
Sure.
Historic investments in Florida's education system. Pay raises for Florida's teachers. He secured $500 million to raise the minimum teacher salary and provide raises for veteran teachers. Now, most teachers I know are liberals. Most teachers I know are leftists. These teachers hate Ron DeSantis, but he's the one who's solely responsible for putting money in their pocket. Expansion for school choice options for students. He championed and signed legislation to increase the enrollment of family empowerment scholarships. So he's benefiting teachers, he's benefiting students, and he's benefiting the environment. Liberals, what's the deal? Why can't we get on board with DeSantis together?
Well, and you know that this is not about facts. This is not about reason or reality or even common sense. This is the new dystopian United States of America.
Right.
Where boys are girls and girls are boys. Up is down, black is white. Masking works. Isolation, shutdown, control, surveillance, chaos, uncertainty,
right.
Eating bugs, eating plants.
Yeah.
You'll have nothing, we'll have everything, and you'll be happy plugged into your computer, Matrix mm-hmm. style, right? Like, and that really is, we're dealing with people. Now, I don't think even registered Democrats or self-describing liberals want these things. And mm-hmm. I do think there's a growing number of Democrats and liberals who are quite unsettled mm-hmm. by the radical gender theory, the critical race theory, the continuing perma emergency, the poxes, the Teenage Mutant Ninja variants, the
right.
looming shutdowns, lockdowns, threats, they're all sick because they've gotten 17 jabs and boosted.
Yeah.
So they don't feel good. They don't feel good. They thought this was all going to be over and we were going to smack. I mean, I think a lot of them were really just excited to devastate and destroy Trump
mm-hmm.
in March. And they're like, oh, it's kind of like wink, wink, nod, nod. We know this really isn't that bad, this whole coronavirus thing, wink, wink, nod, nod, but we're not going to say anything because we're going to get Trump out. We're going to absolutely right. devastate Republicans. We're going to take back power and then we're going to enjoy utopia. And now right. it's a bizarro kind of what happened, you know?
Well, I think that this ties in well to the conversation about farmers, because if we look at what one of the key points that the World Economic Forum makes, it's that the environment is like a religion to them. It's the most important thing that they could possibly preserve. I mean, we all know that that's a lie. They care very little about the environment. That's exactly why they advocate for lithium ion batteries, which destroy the environment far more than oil ever could. You're digging, you know, giant holes into the ground, upheaving dirt. Mm. And that's what you call good for the environment. That's literally destroying the environment. The amount of pollution created by mining for ion lithium batteries. It's like these people are total liars, but what they claim is that they love the environment. What they claim is that they love humanity, that they're trying to help humanity, but it's all a sham. It's a lie. They're trying to better the environment by destroying the environment. They're trying to better humanity by killing people. They're trying to, you know, secure financial success for people by taking all the money. This is what they do. They are complete. They're like vampires, giving you a lie and taking all the time.
Just look at solar power and wind power and the devastation that it wreaks on plant life, wildlife, bird life. It's, I mean,
and how silly is it that we think that we can power a first world economy with windmills like we're in 1870? Like, give me a break. Their nuclear power provides clean energy that doesn't damage the environment. And yet these people are totally against nuclear energy because you know what it does? It presents a solution to the problem that they like. They like that there's a problem. They like that there's this thing to get votes on and to get people mad about.
They don't even need votes. They're just taking. They don't want votes. They don't need votes. They're using their money and their power and their organization over three decades to simply seize the planet. That really is the end game. In terms of DeSantis, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, you know, I am really pleased for three reasons. DeSantis and what he is doing, I want to keep a close eye on him and what he's doing in Florida. First and foremost, just with the rhetoric, the words that he is speaking in the press conferences, the words that his Surgeon General is speaking, truth to power, this is forcing a discussion into the mainstream. Vaccine safety, right?
That's exactly
this
right.
Issue of defiguring and mutilating the bodies of small children through gender-affirming surgeries is absolutely disgusting, yet Republicans won't talk about it. The second reason I think this is important is because as he is winning, now we also have to keep in mind that DeSantis keeps climbing in the polls. He is getting more and more popular, not only with Floridians, but also with mainstream Republicans and Democrats across the country, because he is speaking common sense outside of the political arena. He's simply speaking truth. This sends a signal to Republicans and conservatives that the consultant class and the people running the federal and state GOP are dead wrong. Everything they're telling you, avoid these topics, avoid this fight, avoid going after the radical gender agenda and critical race theory. It's all wrong. They're all wrong. He also provides them with a template for messaging. You can have Republican governors like Carrie Lake, who was just nominated. She will be the next governor of Arizona, and she can follow a DeSantis template because it works. For all of these reasons, he is someone to watch, and I hope that he doesn't run for president because I think that the governorships in Republican states are far more important than the presidency. The federal government, I think, is titanic. It's going down. They're losing so much support from regular people. And I think the 21st century will be the century of the state and the century of local governance, which is where we're going. We'll be back in a moment right here on TNT.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Ukrainian President Zelensky says he would like to discuss his country's war against Russia with China's leader Xi Jinping directly and invited China to help rebuild Ukraine once the war is over. Russia said it is open to discussing a prisoner exchange that could free Brittany Griner but doesn't want it all publicized. The White House summoned the Chinese ambassador on Thursday to condemn escalating actions against Taiwan and reiterate the United States does not want a crisis in the region.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. I am Shannon Joy, joined by Owen Stevens, because it's Friday. And why don't we spend this Friday talking about the megalomaniac, control freak, lunatic, gazillionaires at the elite global level who want everything. Really? I mean, Owen, that's basically the story. I mean, people get very technical. You can go down into the rabbit hole and do a ton of research. But at the end of the day, it is narcissistic, malignant, megalomaniacs who believe that they are God. They have God-like complexes. They have an enormous amount of money, and they think that they can create global plans for humanity, billions of people, that they have the wherewithal and the ability to plan out to the second the lives of every human being. It's insane when you think about it, but they believe they can do it, and that's what makes them so dangerous, is that in their wake are the bodies of millions, if not tens of millions, of human beings who are suffering because of their malignant plans. And we've seen this throughout human history. We've seen this throughout human history.
Well, that's exactly right, Shannon. If you look at 1932 and 1933, what you realize is that when Stalin took control, he went to the Ukraine and he said, all the farmers, all of the landowners are now not landowners. You now do not own your land, and all the food you produce and all your land is now state-owned, and all the food must go to the major cities because those were the people that didn't have food and were complaining. So in order to appease those people, he took his own government officials and made them responsible for that land. 6 million Ukrainians starved in 1933 as a result of Stalin's collectivization of agriculture. His arrogance and his idiocy basically prompted him to think that he could control single-handedly and centrally plan the economy, centrally plan the agriculture like that, and collectivize it all. That never works. We see recently in Venezuela, people can't even buy toilet paper. People can't get basic goods. People can't get their needs met. And that's because of irresponsible and power-hungry, arrogant and prideful leaders. And they've all tried their best to institute the Marxist paradise. They've all tried their best to make socialism work. Nobody has gotten it right, because you can't get it right. And that's what this shows.
It is fundamentally flawed and arrogant, and they have to wrap this in altruism. They have to wrap it in some higher purpose, some cult-like agenda for utopia, or else they wouldn't be able to look themselves in the mirror, right? Because what they say to themselves on a daily basis is essentially this: well, we have to crack a few eggs in order to create this paradise. We have to kill potentially tens of millions or hundreds of millions of people, or suppress them in the most brutal of way, but it's worth it because in the future we will have this paradise of our making. That's the way they can justify it, because no human being could justify the mass killing of individuals, which is what they are planning to do if you didn't have some higher agenda. And that's why they wrap this in global sustainability, the crisis that is COVID-19 or monkeypox, the climate crisis. You're all going to die anyway, so let us save some of you by seizing everything.
Yes. I like to say this: they're manufacturing desperation. Desperation doesn't exist. That's what they're manufacturing. They're lying about it, and they're creating it. They're creating this desperate system. They're creating a desperate need, but that's not the case. Climate change is real. It's happening, but it's always happened throughout the Earth's history. That's always been the case. But that, again, like we say all the time, the facts don't matter. Not even to the World Economic Forum, filled with old, smart people, quote unquote, the smartest people in the world, quote. They're not, and they're really ideologues. And that's the most important thing to realize. But back to this article, Shannon. If left unchecked, experts are saying that if this UN-backed sustainability policies to protect the climate, they're going to damage agriculture, they're going to damage food production, they're going to lead to economic devastation, shortages of critical goods, widespread famine, and a dramatic loss of individual freedoms. Because that is
the agenda. We're looking at Alex Newman's piece, UN World Economic Forum is behind the global war on farming. And this is what experts are now saying. This piece was released in the Epoch Times. And this was written by a fellow named Alex Newman, who is a brilliant writer. I would recommend each and every one of you download this this piece, the title UN World Economic Forum Behind the Global War on Farmers, and read it from beginning to end. It's about nine pages printed out. It was a huge front page story on the Epoch Times. And this will explain to you exactly how the agenda works. And Owen, we're going to go through this. He starts out with what you said, that the escalating regulatory attack on agriculture producers from Holland to Canada, Germany, the U.S., we've been reporting it here on TNT Radio and on this program, is closely tied. It is absolutely linked to the United Nations Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development Goals and the UN's partners at the World Economic Forum. And mm-hmm. this is told by numerous experts from the Epoch Times. Now, this goes back to 2015. It was an agenda. It was a meeting at the, I'm going to find this here. It's the UN Conference on Human Settlements, Owen. It was known as Habitat One, and it was adopted in the Vancouver Declaration in 2015. And this laid the groundwork for everything that we're seeing today. Now, Owen, you are younger. When did you become aware? I became aware of UN Agenda 21 about 8 years ago in my deep dive on Common Core. Mm-hmm. And really, any terrible thing that happens, if you peel the onion enough, you will find Bill Gates, the United Nations, George Soros, the Bush Family Foundation, and the Agenda for Global Governance, the World Economic Forum. And all of this links back to these agendas, Agenda 21.
Right.
And then Agenda 2030.
Right.
When did you become aware of this as really, because nothing makes sense in politics unless you understand that larger agenda and the larger goal. And I learned that about 8 years ago.
Well, I think that I did a deep dive when I was 18 years old into BlackRock and Vanguard. Mm. What I started to realize was that these investment companies own everything. They own every single item that you are using. They have a stake in every single competitive market. So they're pitting companies against each other and benefiting enormously off of capitalism and really taking all the money for themselves. What I realized then was that the Open Society's foundation of George Soros and what Bill Gates and Melinda Gates were doing was very much in cahoots with BlackRock, Vanguard, and they were acting almost as the soldiers who were doing things in real time to real governments in order to influence policies that would eventually lead to economic gain and the consolidation of power for these investment companies. And that's one of the things that if you look at it, if you really research deeply into it, you realize how evil and how little control we actually have, which emphasizes the importance for local governance and never backing down as far as your values go.
From this piece by Alec Newman, as explained by the UN on its website, the goals were adopted in 2015, and they build on decades of work by countries and the UN. One of the earliest meetings I mentioned was the Conference on Human Settlements. And the fact that they use the word, if you've ever looked into human settlements and their agenda for human settlements, you will understand some of the citywide planning, the regional governments that you see people pushing for in states across the United States of America. And the idea is very similar, strangely enough, to Hunger Games. If you've ever seen Hunger Games, and all of the different regions, section 1 through 13. And essentially, human beings, because we are like cockroaches, we need to be controlled and corralled, and we can't be allowed to scurry free, are not allowed into the vast majority of open spaces on the planet. And you can see these plans. They are not hiding them. They want everyone in urban areas, stack and pack housing. Most people will live in these densely packed urban areas because it's easier to control people. Then on the outer ring, you have the planners and the managers and those who kind of execute the vision. And then the majority of the green space on the face of the planet is uninhabited, untouched by human beings. And they call them, I kid you not, human settlements. Humans are only allowed to reside in these designated zones. This is why they don't need cars. This is why they don't want you flying. This is why they don't want people being transported from region to region. They want to shut down people's movements. Mm-hmm. Because they mean for you to live in a 500 square foot apartment in a 17 story building. And if you question that, just take a look at what they've done in China. Remember, China is a critical strategic partner in all of this. They are setting the agenda and the template. Just as the world adopted the Wuhan strategy for lockdown and COVID-19 mitigation, the world will adopt, if they get their way, the Chinese strategy to combat global warming. Forgetting the fact that China is one of the biggest polluters on the face of the planet. But see, none of that makes any sense.
Now,
if you listen to what they say here, one of the earliest meetings defining sustainability in that agenda was the UN Conference on Human Settlement and the Vancouver Declaration. This is what they said. The agreement stated that land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals.
Right.
That is an attack on private property.
Property rights. Exactly.
That private land ownership is, quote, a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, therefore contributes to social injustice, equity, social justice, everything that you're seeing in education. Remember, the UN Agenda 21 in 2030 has an agenda for education as well. It is the core curriculum that was adopted in the 1980s that makes everyone stupid. It is a one-size-fits-all education agenda that makes everyone dumb and indoctrinates them into equity.
Exactly.
So all of this works together. You can't understand anything unless you understand the UN and these different agendas. And so private property contributes to social injustice. If you're wondering why the Chinese Communist Party is buying up land, if you're wondering why Bill Gates is buying up land and BlackRock, if you're wondering why the housing market is out of control, regular people can't buy houses anymore, the prices are skyrocketing, rents are skyrocketing, they're closing down the dream of home ownership for individuals in this country.
Right, throughout the world. I mean, think about, let's talk about equity for a little bit. And
well, let's go to a break. We'll go right to equity for a minute. We'll finish up with Owen right here on TNT.
You should hear what Michael Parker is talking about.
Julie Hamill, an attorney representing the Alliance of Los Angeles County Parents, sent a letter to the LA County Board of Supervisors warning that if the mandate returns for LA school children, she's going to sue. Thoughts?
Wow. Can I weigh in here? Can I speak up?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We talked about this. There is an LA County medical officer who spoke up and said, there is absolutely no reason for us to be using masks again. I know for a fact that what he's saying is absolutely correct. And if he feels comfortable coming out speaking against his bosses who employ him to set the record straight, that is a bold move, okay? And as it turns out, USC also came out and supported this doctor's theory.
Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You are the pollution they want to eliminate. Stay tuned.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
I'm not making this up. The headline in Scientific American, human pee is a problem pollutant and, quote, can contribute to warming. So not only is your human breath, you exhale carbon dioxide, a pollutant, now your urine or your pee is a primary climate warming agent. Your pee's nitric oxide can contribute to warming via the greenhouse effect and cause acid rain. The solution has to be simple. Stop peeing. Ladies and gentlemen, they will not give up. The climate activists will continue to scare you about climate change in every and any conceivable way. Now, when you go pee, you are allegedly a human pollution machine that is heating up the planet. The voiding of your bladder must be curtailed for the sake of the planet. So says the science. For the Marano Minute, this is Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Final segment on the Shannon Joy Show of the week. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. You'll come back next Monday. Visit me again right here on TNT. Owen Stevens joins me tonight. We're talking about Alex Newman's piece. This is a must read. in the Epic Times front page last week. The UN, the World Economic Forum as well, are behind the global war on farmers. It's all part of their agenda that they adopted in 2015, Agenda 2030. There are lots of elements to this, but everything you're seeing happening to farmers, the emissions standards, the shutdown of small to medium-sized farms, the starvation agenda that is throwing Sri Lanka and yes. Netherlands and Germany and Canada into absolute chaos and is now being adopted here in the U.S. by Biden. Mm. All of this is part of the framework, the global framework, and it all links together with the global agenda for education, the global agenda for healthcare, the global agenda for food, the global agenda for energy, and the global agenda for finance. Ultimately, you own nothing, and we own you. Owen, what are your thoughts on this piece? Because it lays it all out.
Well, I think the most important thing to address in the piece is the goal of the WEF and the goal of these people. So it's easy to talk about what they're doing and why we disagree with them, but then it's another thing to assume what their actual goal is. Now, this kind of made me think about sieges in the Middle Ages or whenever you want to talk about it. It's, you know, it's a nerdy thing for me to bring up, but then again, I'm a nerd.
Go for it.
I'm bringing these things up. So sieges in the like 15th century, when they surrounded a city with an army, and what you realize is the people trapped in the city, the most valuable thing isn't gold. It's not silver. It's not bronze or metal or jewels or anything. The most valuable thing is food. The most valuable thing is water, sustenance, those things that people need to live on. So what the thieves started doing in sieges, the thieves that are inside of those cities, they don't steal the gold. They don't steal the jewels. They don't steal anything but the food. They steal all the food, and then by the end of that siege, they become the richest men in the entire city. That's the playbook that these people are basing this off of. They know that if they control the food, if they collectivize the things that people need to survive, because you don't need a lot of money, but what you do need is food. You do need sustenance. You do need water. So according to the critics of these policies, the goal is not to preserve the environment or fight climate change at all. Instead, the experts warn that sustainability is just a justification to gain control over food, agriculture, and then in turn, people. And it brings me into a further discussion about equity. They say that this is all about equity. It's all about making sure people have an equal amount. Well, let's talk about the most equitable society in the world in Venezuela. Venezuela is the most equitable society in the world. Everybody has the equal amount of bone scraps to gnaw on. They have the equal amount of rotten bread to chew and dirty water to drink. That's what these policies do. They make it equal. But really, how valuable is that equality when you're living in perpetual poverty?
They are such liars. They are such filthy, nasty liars. This is why we have to beat them. This was from Sterling Burnett on all of this. I liked what he had to say. He is, and this is from Alex Newman's piece in the Epic Times. He holds a doctorate in environmental ethics. He leads the nonprofit Heartland Institute's Arthur B. Robinson Center on Climate and Environmental Policy.
I love that.
Yeah, and he says, it's not a war on farming. It's a war on small farming and independent farmers. Mm-hmm. It is the creation of monopolies, the creation of trusts. They are cheating, using governments and these policies to decimate their competition. He said, it's a war in support of elite, large-scale, multinational agricultural industries. Policymakers, he says, are in the pockets of major corporate interests, including Conagra, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and others, to your point, Owen.
Right.
He goes on, they would just as soon have all their small competitors put out of business, echoing concerns expressed by numerous other experts. Now, the BlackRock CEO, Larry Fink, and he is a Fink. What a name. What a name. He deserves that name, that Fink, that lazy, entitled, elitist. And that's all these people are. They're lazy.
Yeah.
They don't want to go out and earn your business. They want to go out and use their influence and their power and their money to pay people off to shut down their competition. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. I'm reading a unbelievable book by Edwin Black, which links IBM and the Third Reich, the Nazi regime, and how they worked together, that the efficiency of the extermination of the Jews could not have happened without the Hollerith computing machine. It was a punch card machine that helped the Germans identify every single Jew, their occupation, what they could do, their health status. It allowed them to make the trains work in tandem.
Right.
It allowed them to round them up, get them to the ghettos, then get them on the trains, get them to the concentration camp, monitor their ability to work, and then exterminate them when they were unable to work any longer. It's disgusting. Okay? And this is what conservatives, capitalists, free marketers, people who like business have got to remember.
Right.
And I see this on our side all the time, Owen. We exalt business people. We exalt innovation. We like companies, corporations, and we call that capitalism, and we will push forward capitalism, right? We hate government. We like business. But see, what we don't understand, and on the left, they love government and hate business. But what none of us understand is that when governments and business get together, really, really bad things happen. And when innovation and technology is left unchecked, it results in disaster for humanity.
Right. There's no perfect system. And I think we have to stop chasing this ideal perfect system and realize we're not going to get it perfect. There's always going to be things that we cannot control and things that need to be corrected. But we are striving for a more perfect system. That's the most important thing we can do. Conservatives should stop chasing an ideal and start chasing realistically what has worked and what we know works, which is, and capitalism, when people say that it's about corporations and big business, that is not the whole case. Capitalism is something, and the idea of capitalism is something that has liberated billions of individual people out of poverty themselves. It has allowed themselves, individual people that are not particularly extraordinary, but it has allowed people to have agency, control, and responsibility over the decisions that they make, and allow them control over their destiny. That's what the American dream is about. Capitalism provides that to individual people. It's not just about making the richest people more rich. It's about making everybody as rich as possible according to the work that they put in.
I think that we have to really consider that term, considering that Karl Marx invented it, right, in order to criticize it. So he defined what capitalism was. I prefer, Owen, to use the term free markets. I prefer to use the concept of laissez-faire, hands off. So in the same way in the U.S., we have a separation of church and state. We need a new 21st century agenda for separation of state and business. We need to separate those two. And very often, conservatives and Republicans will say, well, this is a pro-business agenda. This is a pro-growth agenda. We're creating jobs. We're going to invite Amazon to New York State. They're going to build a 3,000 square foot warehouse or 27,000 square foot warehouse and employ all these people. We're basically going to pay them to come here. Right. Again, governments adopting the risk that companies should be taking if they have that great of a product, but getting into bed with corporations, that is not free market. And even the definition of capitalism, I take issue with, because it elevates capital and productivity and merit and all of those things as the highest goal, when we also have to deal with humanity. Sometimes it is not, as a business owner, it might make business sense in terms of efficiency to fire your secretary who was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, even though she's worked for you for 25 years.
Right.
If you're operating from just a business perspective, just in terms of capital and efficiency, then you would, in order to serve that, be required to fire.
Right.
Okay. So we've got to... We've gotten really off course. And so I, you know, that word for me has become more and more troublesome, not because it's wrong or bad. It's just, I think that it's been twisted.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that associating that with selfishness is what a lot of people do. They say that when they hear the word capitalism, they by default associate it with selfishness. But what we have to understand is that capitalism and a company doing whatever it can for profit is inherently selfless. And it is so because their first obligation and the people that they are accountable to is, and should be, I should say, it should be their customers. It should be the people that are buying their product. The reason that Amazon is so wealthy is not because Amazon is gaming the system. It's not because they're, it's because they provide a service that billions of people have benefited from and have voluntarily bought. So if you're upset about big business, blame yourself. There's no reason that Starbucks is as powerful as it is without you buying a coffee every morning.
Right. Well, but they also cheat. That's the thing. They also cheat and they put competitors out of business. So you have this merging of government and capital, which I think is the problem. But again, to your point, we got to go because we're out of time. But then I would say, why not call it free markets?
Yeah, I agree.
Free markets, you know, I think at least for me defines what I believe is the best way forward. Laissez-faire. Free markets, hands off from the government, people buy and sell, and you leave the market alone.
Yes.
And you check it when it's necessarily.
The very opposite of what the WEF is trying to do.
Absolutely. Owen Stevens, you can find him at theowenstevensshow.com. He has a weekly show every week, and he joins me every Friday here on TNT. Have a wonderful weekend. I loved being with you all this week. We'll do it again next week. Keep it tuned right here on TNT.